NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A midnight deadline has come and gone in Portland, Oregon, but thousands of Occupy Wall Street-inspired protesters and their supporters are still on the streets as police with bullhorns and on horseback warn them to leave. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Christian Vodenfensel is there.
The crowd is predominantly young, predominantly male. That said, it is quite diverse. There are a lot of different people. We've had all kinds of chanting going on. This is what democracy looks like. And as the action was being taken by the police, they were crying, the world is watching, the world is watching.
Aside from Portland, authorities elsewhere are stepping up pressure on demonstrators to leave their encampments. Nearly two dozen have been arrested around the country this weekend. President Obama is seeking support from China and Russia for a coordinated response to new evidence that Iran is working to build nuclear weapons. Mr. Obama met with his counterparts on the sidelines of the APEC summit in Honolulu this weekend. As NPR's Barbara Klein reports, the president's Iran policies came under attack at last night's Republican presidential debate in South Carolina.
Republican hopefuls are unanimous in opposing President Obama's policies toward Iran. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney says they're dangerous.
Look, one thing you can know, and that is if we reelect Barack Obama, Iran will have a nuclear weapon. And if we elect Mitt Romney, if you elect me as the next president, they will not have a nuclear weapon.
Texas Governor Rick Perry says the president is failing to take effective steps against Iran's regime.
This country can sanction the Iranian Central Bank right now and shut down that country's economy. And that's what this president needs to do.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says the U.S. should take whatever steps are necessary to thwart Iran's nuclear ambitions. But Congressman Ron Paul says he opposes a unilateral attack. Barbara Klein, NPR News, Washington.
In Syria, tens of thousands of pro-government demonstrators are gathering in cities across the country today. They're protesting the Arab League's vote to suspend Syria following its months-long crackdown on the uprising against Bashar al-Assad's government. The BBC's John Lyne is monitoring the situation from Cairo.
Syrian state television has been showing pictures of large crowds gathered in Damascus and other Syrian cities. The Syrian people are filling the squares of the nation to show their rejection of the Arab League decision, said state TV. The people want Bashar al-Assad, chanted some of the demonstrators. Overnight, there were attacks on the embassies of Saudi Arabia, Qatar and Turkey, all governments that have been strongly critical of the violence against protesters in Syria. Here in Cairo, Egypt's foreign minister has stressed that Egypt still opposes foreign interference in Syria's internal affairs.
The BBC's John Lyne reporting from Cairo, and you're listening to NPR News. Penn State's football team lost its last home game of the season to Nebraska this weekend amid accusations that the government, or rather the university, covered up the child sex abuse scandal. But new Penn State president Rod Erickson says he wanted the game played to avoid hiding from what happened.
To do so in a way that reflected unity, that reflected support, and that reflected the need for us to bring these issues out into the open.
Erickson speaking to ESPN. NPR's Marisa Pinoloso reports the Penn State community is bracing for change.
The game came at a point when people here desperately needed to come together and cheer. A win would have been sweet, but sophomore Claudia De Baton says getting the community together was good medicine.
I think that this was a great game to bring back all the excitement, and I think that although we didn't win, it was just awesome just to be a part of this and just to realize that we still are Penn State and we still have that pride and we still are just more than allegations.
The baton says the coming weeks aren't going to be easy, but to move on, people need to hear what happened so it doesn't happen again. Marisa Pinoloso, NPR News.
Authorities in Bangkok are telling more residents to leave. Rising floodwaters are threatening three more neighborhoods in the capital. More than 500 people have died in flooding around the country since late July. In Brazil, hundreds of police and soldiers backed by helicopters have occupied Rio de Janeiro's largest slum. Authorities are cracking down on drug gangs. They want to improve security before Rio hosts soccer's World Cup in 2014 and the 2016 Olympics. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.